Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay. If you were had the same mission as Srila Prabhupada, and you arrived on the boat, and you were standing on the shore of the east coast of America, and it was like the Battle of Kurukshetra. Here you are, and here was the material civilization going so passionately. What would you think in terms of your mission? Would you be confident that you could be successful?
Mission impossible.
What?
Mission impossible.
Mission impossible. You have no faith. Well, there's when someone has Baba Bhakti, they have no hope and hope at the same time. Does anyone know what the... Anybody know what the Sanskrit is for that? Well, it's not really the Sanskrit for that, actually. It's Prabhupada's translation. Ashabandha. It's a symptom of Baba Bhakti. Ashabandha means that... A little soft at the beginning, then when I get going... You can speak, increase the volume here, because it takes time to get the class going. Asabandha means your hope cannot be bound, even when you have no hope. So what's the no hope is your own endeavor, and the hope is the mercy of Krishna. So a devotee, his hope cannot be bound, because even though he's unqualified, Krishna is merciful. It's just like when there's prayers. First in prayers, you glorify Krishna. And then within the prayers, you express your own inability. And then there's this great distance. And the more you realize who Krishna is, and the more you realize who you are, the greater distance there is. But the more you realize how great Krishna is, the more you realize how merciful Krishna is. And therefore, no matter how far the distance is, you get this hope because of the mercy of Krishna. Because when you realize Krishna, you realize how much he's beyond your attainment, and you realize how much he has the power to help you cross that bridge. So when Prabhupada was on that shore, he had no hope. But then what was his hope? Specifically. What was Prabhupada's hope specifically?
Yeah. To try to fulfill the instructions of his guru.
That's there, but there's something specific, yes.
The Srimad Bhagavatam is the scripture that could purify all of the entire civilization.
He had... Thank you. In Markandeya Bhagavata Dharma, that poem he wrote, he described himself as an insignificant beggar. And then in his bhav, and in his box, because he had a little box, a suitcase with the Bhagavatams. So that was his hope. And he said, he began to quote from those verses, Srimpita Sva Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidyanta Stoya and Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu can destroy everything. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. If you do this Bhagavatam regularly, and Prabhupada makes this Nitya Bhagavata Seva to Nitya means every day, actually. You do Nitya Seva, it means you do it every day. Kartik, you should do Nitya Seva. In other months, you may chant your rounds this time and read a book here and read a book here, but Niyama Seva, same program every day. So that should be Nitya, and it's to serve the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. And as Prabhupada said, the person Bhagavat speaks about the book Bhagavat, and the book Bhagavat is about the person Bhagavat. So that was Prabhupada's faith, and because of that, that's what he brought with him. He brought a box of Bhagavatams. And because, what did he want to give? He wanted to give Krishna consciousness. There's, who can give the Sanskrit for Krishna consciousness?
Krishna
Chaitanya. All right, okay, one at a time. What's that?
Krishna Chaitanya.
Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna consciousness, okay?
The movement is Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha.
Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha. Madhavananda is a very institutional person, so. So he naturally quoted the name of the institution. I respect that, Madhavananda.
Brothers in this field, the phrase Krishna consciousness.
I know.
What? Antarashtriya, Krishna,
Bhavanamrita. Okay, now he's added the international. He's even more institutional. Anybody else? That's not the phrase I was looking for, and I'm not. I don't think that's the Sanskrit phrase where Prabhupada got Krishna consciousness from. He got Krishna consciousness from a verse in the Padyavali. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato Mati. How would you translate that exactly?
A consciousness which is deeply saturated with the feelings of Krishna.
A consciousness which is deeply saturated with the feelings of Krishna. That's where Prabhupada got to the English term. And just see Prabhupada's genius. Even to coin the term sense gratification. Not really, but the way he put things in. Say that again, I like that translation. What is that?
A consciousness which is saturated with the feelings of Krishna.
A consciousness which is saturated with the feelings of Krishna. The International Society for a Consciousness Saturated with the Feelings of Krishna. Prabhupada didn't probably translate that because he knew one day the movement would spread to Russia. And anything there can inspire Sahaji. No. It's so beautiful. Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada was great at everything, right? Prabhupada was the best cook. Prabhupada was a kavi. He was a writer. He was a poet. Prabhupada was a musician. He taught everything. One day I was in Vrindavan, and Hari Kesh Maharaj was sitting on the steps of the guest house, kind of like a little frustrated. And when I asked him what happened, he said Prabhupada had showed him one Madanga beat, and he couldn't get it. Prabhupada also is expert in branding. The acronym ISKCON, the term Krishna consciousness. So he wanted to give Krishna consciousness. And the way he would do it is through the Bhagavatam, to get the feelings of your relationship with Krishna. That was his, really one of his main gifts. And of course, Prabhupada said to the devotees, we're not just an export business. We're also supposed to study the books and get those deep feelings. That's the way it'll happen. That's my experience. If you're here in Krishna consciousness and you want to go here, and you're here and you want to go here, and you're here and you want to go here, then it's Nashta Preshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Seva. It's hearing Hari Katha, hearing Krishna consciousness, specifically based on the Bhagavatam, in the right way, from the appropriate person, regularly. I know in America, you know, I was preaching, and you know how it is. You know, one person is in Washington, D.C., another person is in Portland, Oregon. I'm very close with Tamal Krishnamurti's brother and sister-in-law. They're professors in, you know, Iowa. You know, and then you start making relationships and preaching to people, and then how do you nourish them in their Krishna consciousness? They don't even live in communities. Not everybody's so fortunate to live in a place like Mayapur, or one type of community, etc. So I started. I've been doing it for 8 or 9 years. Every Wednesday evening at 8 a.m. ET. It's not like an advertisement for the class. It just happens to be 8 a.m. And Sunday morning at 9 a.m. I teach different shastras. And I see that there are people that have been listening for 8 years. And I see it all the time. When that happens, when you study regularly, there is a transformation to bring someone to the next step. So Prabhupada came with the Bhagavatam. So I'm saying this because I really, in the class here, I want to read the Bhagavatam. And I also want to explain Gaur Lila, and the way that I'm connecting them is the theme I have is discuss Gaur Lila in terms of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu achieved his internal objective, which is, what is that definition again? Yeah.
Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima.
No, the Sri Krishna Bhakti.
A consciousness which is saturated with feelings for Krishna.
So Lord Chaitanya wanted a consciousness which is saturated with the feelings of Krishna. And if he just stayed as Krishna, that would be too, that would, you know, just to think of yourself is just not the highest consciousness of prema. He wanted to experience that from the perspective of a devotee. Of course, we discussed the Tota Gopinath. He was listening to the Bhagavatam from Gadadhar, who is Radha, and her service to Krishna. She was teaching him how to be Radha, which means a feeling in the heart, by the Bhagavatam. So, I want to discuss Gaur Lila in terms of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's so important to understand that. Madhavananda was explaining that yesterday, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to achieve that, to actually get a relationship with Krishna. And that's the objective of our life. Kiranagri? What is that verse that has Prema Pumartha Mahan in it?
Rajo Bhagavan Vachesas Tanayas Tadama Vrindavana Ramya Kachir Upashanaha Raja Vadu Magina Yakavita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Prema Umarta Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Tattam Idam Tatadarona Araha.
Translation?
Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna, Vrajendranandana, is our only object of worship. In the same way that he is worshipped, also is his divine abode, Sri Vrindavan Dham. The worshipful mood displayed, the worshipful mood of devotion displayed by the cowherd damsels of Rajavuni, headed by Srimati Radhika, is the highest pinnacle in the perfectional form of love of God. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless, immaculate scriptural evidence for this. And therefore, love of Krishna, Krishna Prema, is the highest goal of human form of life.
Prema of what?
Prema. Doesn't end there.
Okay, more efficient.
Is the highest goal of the human form of life beyond mundane religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification. Now, these are the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we hold them in the highest regard. And we completely reject, and we have no inclination for any other opinion, any other point of view, or any other philosophy.
Prema Purvartha Maha. That's the highest goal. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to attain it. And by his example of attaining it, showing us how we can also get that. And it's, and he showed, now I described that in the Gambhira, especially the Anchalila, the last 18 years of his life, 6 years more with the devotees, and gradually receding in the Gambhira, because he still saw the devotees, cultivating his that, trying to attain the reason that he appeared for by chanting Hare Krishna with Sambandha, a relationship, and nourishing that relationship by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? So a page a day for the sage. Or want to be a sage? A page a day. Something like that.
Page by page, be a sage.
Page by page, be a sage. Okay? So I'm going to read the Bhagavatam, but then discuss Gaur Lila like I did yesterday, and specifically discuss the pastimes of Raghunath Das Goswami, because today is his, it's a, I think it's his appearance day. Can that be confirmed, or disappearance day? Okay, it's one of them.
Today's appearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami.
Appearance day.
Appearance day.
You think he's a genius, but he's looking at his iPhone.
Krishna Chakrabarti is a genius.
What?
Krishna Chakrabarti is a genius.
Yes.
Will there be any day appearance?
Yeah.
Will there be any day?
It's
Raghunatha Goswami, Raghunatha Vachakra.
Okay, there's.
And it's Prasanta Pachami.
And Vishnu Priya Devi.
What?
Vishnu Priya Devi.
Okay, it's.
That's me.
Okay, I'm going to get to the Bhagavatam and then we'll continue. If the. It's really how rasa is formed. the chanting and the reading. In fact, I think it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Bhakti Lata Beej. And somehow that creeper, your creeper devotional service, the perfect analogy is that it grows and it pierces the spiritual world, and then it blossoms, and the flowers are offered at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Just a little story. When I was in college, and I had already met devotees, but I stayed in college, the devotees from New York came to my university, and they sat right in the middle of the student union. And at that time, Hari Kesh was still a bhakta. And I remember the kirtans that were happening. There was a god sister of mine named Varanasi. She had this beautiful voice, and they were singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. It's beautiful. And then Bhavananda just sat, he was the party leader, just sat down in the middle of the student with confidence, and everybody was like crowding around, and so dramatically described the Bhakti Lata Beach, you know, piercing the spiritual universe. The Bhakti Lata Beach. So now we'll read from the Bhagavatam. Of course, it was a long introduction, but necessary. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tamyam tamovan naiharam kadyotachir ivahami mahatitara mayashyam nahantyatmani yunjita. This is a great analogy. And it's being described when Brahma, who is so powerful, and he begins to see Krishna's opulence, how he feels. As the darkness of snow on a dark night, and the light of a glowworm in the light of day, have no value. The mystic power of an inferior person who tries to use it against a person of greater power is unable to accomplish anything. Instead, the power of that inferior person is diminished. So this is us when we try to exert our power, our energy, in a mood of we're something. In the mood of ego rather than the mood of service. The bank teller thinking he's a millionaire. So what a nice analogy, right? The snow on a dark night. A glowworm during the day. At the night, glowworm thinks, wow, look at my fantastic light. When it comes before the sun, it's nothing. And therefore, this pastime is going to show that one way Krishna is merciful to us and helps us, what is self-realization? Prabhupada said, this is a beautiful statement by Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita. The perfected state of a living entity is called Bodhi. And even when Prabhupada, one of his disciples said, oh, Prabhupada, you're such a great devotee, Prabhupada said, no, devotee is not an ordinary thing. Pure means the original thing. The glory of water is when there is nothing added to it. And that's what self-realization means. Self-realization is when you just become a devotee. It's a simple thing, but it's difficult because, as Prabhupada said, the process is simple, the application is difficult. The process is simple because there's no material qualification. Anyone can perform devotion. Even a child can perform devotion. But the application is difficult because you have to give up the false ego. Namaha. You have to offer obeisances. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I was staying in the Brooklyn temple. Maybe it's not when I first came, but maybe the early 80s. And I went to see my brother, my brothers, and my mother. They were congregated in my brother's house in Brooklyn. And when I showed a slideshow, one of the pictures was Prabhupada on a Vyasasan and someone paying dandavats. As soon as that picture came in, my brother in Raganuga, New York, spontaneous material consciousness. As soon as that picture came, my brother said, I don't surrender before no one. So it's hard with ego. It's hard. But not materially. You have everything right now to achieve perfection and happiness. Everything. You just have to do it. And it's a struggle. When we're chanting, there's a struggle with the ego, all the desires, the struggle. We're trying, I want to be a devotee, I want to be a devotee, and the mind is saying, this is what you need to do, you want this, you don't want this. It's always on that platform, the struggle. So here, Krishna is going to help the sincere devotee by revealing the devotee's insignificance in a very beautiful way, by revealing his opulence, his glories, to make the glowworm understand that its power is not significant. Purport, when one wants to supersede a superior power, one's own power becomes ludicrous. Just as a glowworm in the daytime and snow at night have no value, Brahma's mystic power became worthless in the presence of Krishna. Because greater mystic power condemns inferior mystic power. On a dark night, the darkness produced by snow has no meaning. The glowworm appears very important at night, but in the daytime its glow has no value. Whatever little value it has is lost. Similarly, Brahma became insignificant in the presence of Krishna's mystic power. Krishna's Maya was not diminished in value, but Brahma's Maya was condemned. Therefore, one should not try to exhibit one's insignificant opulence by a greater power. I thought it can be the same thing as a spiritual teacher, a guru. One takes that position. If you're looking down, I am guru, and you have all the little followers moving around, then you'll think I am great. But if you look up, which is the position you're supposed to look, and look at the guru parampara, look at the line of teachers before you in the right mood, then you'll be able to see yourself in your right position as a servant of Guru and Krishna, not as a master of others. So the whole world is constructed to destroy this illusion that I have independent power to enjoy and control. It's constructed that way. And if you move in that direction, you always become frustrated, because your objective is to be the enjoyer, which requires that you're the controller. And there's a real problem with that plan. Because if your happiness is dependent on conforming the world to your desires, then you'll fail, because someone else controls the world. And that's God. So unless you develop love for God and make your objective to fill His desires, you're always frustrated and fearful, because whatever you attain is going to be taken away. And whatever you want is not in your control. So the Bhagavatam tries to reveal this. So we'll get back to this pastime, discuss a little bit about Raghunath Das Goswami. I used to have one festival every year for Raghunath Das Goswami. It was an incredible festival. We used to have it in New York. And it kept on growing and growing. It was very... One year we had Satchinandana Swami and Radhanath Swami at the festival together. And one year Indrajumna Swami and Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj and Varsana Maharaj. And we had the Padayati Festival with the Festival of Chip Rice. I used to lecture on that, and it's a very significant pastime, again, for showing us how to actually proceed in spiritual life. But very interesting, where the pastime begins. Where the pastime begins is where? It's interesting. It's not about Raghunath Das Goswami. The chapter is the glories of Raghunath Das Goswami. But where the chapter begins is not about Raghunath Das Goswami. It's very interesting. It begins in the Gambhira with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates trying to... It shows how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did his bhajan. And there's so many instructive points in Chaitanya Charitamrita. For example, Lord Chaitanya controlled his ecstasies during the day. Why is that?
So he remained confidential.
Yes, that's true. One reason. That's one of the reasons. There's another reason also. Thank you, Maharaj. Anybody else? Why he controlled his ecstasies during the day? Because he was in the pain of separation. He was in anxiety. He was hankering. Where is Krishna? Where? And crying in anxiety, spiritual anxiety. And he had relationships with so many devotees. And he did not want to have them suffer. So when he was at night, when he's alone, this happens sometimes. For many reasons, people control their emotions in public. But when they have a real problem, and at night when they lay down on their pillow, then they cry their eyes out. So he was very considerate of others, Lord Chaitanya. This is also part of bhakti. Be considerate of others' feelings. And then when he was in the Gambhira, when Lord Chaitanya was in the, and the reason why this is shown is because Lord, who is Raghunath Das Goswami, but he's the Priyojana Acharya. And what is the Priyojana? Priyojana is prema. And any philosophical system has Sambandhigyan, Abhidhayagyan, Priyojanagyan. And what is Sambandhigyan? We'll say now simply it's metaphysics. Every philosophy has to have a description of reality. And then it has to have what's called epistemology. And that's a means of determining what is reality. So that's Sambandhigyan. Basically, it's what is reality. And then every philosophy has to have an Abhidhayagyan. What is your means for realizing what is reality? And every philosophy has to have a Prayojanagyan. A description of the result of doing so. So in bhakti, the sambandha gyan is basically what exists, Krishna and Krishna's energies. Abhidhaya gyan, what's the means of realizing it, bhakti. And priyojana gyan is what is the experience of doing so. If you actually realize reality, what is the result of that? And what's the experience of reality? The experience of reality is love of reality because we have a relationship with reality. Reality is a person. And we have an eternal relationship with that person. And when you realize that, it's kind of like the child is born and immediately there's affection for the mother. Because there's relationship. So when we realize God, we experience God. And what's the experience of a person? It's a relationship, and a relationship means love. So the Priyojana Gyan is this experience called prema, which is the energy between two people in a relationship. And it's not only prema, it's prema, but it's the essence of God's bliss potency. That's what we want to attain. We want to experience God. We want to experience our relationship with God. We want to feel it. Feel a relationship. So Lord Chaitanya wanted this. And he's in the Gambhira. And he's chanting Hare Krishna, which is praying. And feeling the presence of God and cultivating that relationship. And then Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar have what's called Antaranga Seva. They're serving his internal mood, this desire he has to attain this specific type of love, which is not revealed or shared with all the associates. And we saw that in Rathiatra. When Lord Chaitanya was in the Rathiatra festival, which exemplified the experience which Lord Chaitanya wanted, which is the highest love, which is the mood of deep separation of God. And what is the Ratha Yatra? They're the deities of Krishna, Baladev, and Subhadra. At Kurukshetra, when Radharani comes after 96 years, and she finally sees her beloved, but because he is in the position of a king, surrounded by his subjects, his intimate side, his full nature cannot be manifest. Krishna cannot be manifest. Akila Rasa Mrita Murti cannot be manifest. The loving, full loving side of God, his Swayam Bhagavan, his original manifestation, his full manifestation cannot be manifested, including his nature as the lover of Radharani. So he came there, Radharani, and she was in deep separation. And then the prayers that Lord Chaitanya was chanting in the Ratha Yatra. It is the same moonlight night of the month of Chaitra, and the same sweet malati breezes are blowing in the air, but I am not happy here. I want you in the days of my youth. She was in separation, in union. And the Ratha Yatra festival, in the deities of this of Krishna in this mood, and the Ratha Yatra is taking the mood of Radharani taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. Not everybody knew that. Only Rupa Goswami. What he was feeling, it was antaranga, it was very internal. The deeper your sentiments, the more you keep them to yourself. Right? It's like poker. You just kind of pick up those cards, and like I'm real experienced. Right? I pick up the cards on the side, just kind of look. You don't want anybody to see. Because why? If they see your hand, they can exploit you. Unless they're your friends, then they'll offer you blessings. So you don't give your heart easily. That's why Baba, praying Baba, a pure devotional service at the level of Baba, is very difficult to attain. Because Krishna can be exploited. He gives himself. When you have bhava or love, then someone trusts you. That's why Rupa Goswami was given so much. Because Lord Chaitanya trusted him. And why did Lord Chaitanya trust him? Because what's the demonstration of your trust in someone? It's your service. When someone serves you fully, with full heart, you trust them. Rupa Goswami served, he was trusted. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he's the Priyojani Acharya because he witnessed this Gambhira. Because when he renounced family life and came to Puri, Lord Chaitanya put him under Surup Damodar. So he was assisting in the internal pastimes. And what was happening? Lord Chaitanya was meditating, chanting the holy name, and within the name was the forms of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna. So within the name, he was entering into the pastimes of Krishna. In terms of the relationship he wanted to cultivate, which is the mood of Radharani. And it was a river of praying, just like the book that Gaura Govinda Maharaj wrote, The Embankment of Separation, describing that prema is like a forceful river, and a forceful river needs two embankments. And they have to be equal, otherwise it won't be forceful. If one is not a powerful embankment, the river will go to the side, it won't flow forcefully. So what happened was, it was such an internal mood at a very, very high level of the practice of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya was cultivating these sentiments. And when he would feel too much separation, then Sarup Damodar would begin to sing beautiful songs of union. And Ramananda Roy would begin to tell beautiful pastimes of union. And then when he was feeling the mood of union so strongly, then they would build up the embankment of separation. It's kind of, this isn't the only analogy I can get, trying to get a perfect shower. Not too hot, not too cold. Right? Perfect. A little too cold, a little too hot. So who had their hands on those dials? And to do that, they'd have to understand the internal mood. So Raghunath Das, this is given at the beginning, he would attain that. He would attain the intimate service. And in fact, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is written specifically because he was there and witnessed it and understood it. And therefore, from him, Krishna Das Kaviraj can even write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he was faced with insurmountable obstacles because he was the son of the richest man in West Bengal. Very difficult. And he was the only son in a joint family. I had struggled with my family when I was joining. Struggle. And they definitely were willing to up the ante, you know, like the bet. Okay, you want to join? Okay. Why are all these poker analogies? They were willing. And they did. And eventually, when I joined, they even hired people to kidnap me. But at least I had a younger brother and an older brother. So their hopes were not completely dashed. When they finally came to visit me in Vrindavan in 1982, my parents, after I was already a devotee for so many years, I told them that Vrindavan has kalpa vriksha trees. And both my brothers were unmarried with no grandchildren, my parents. And they prayed. And then soon after, both my brothers got married and had children. Raghunath Das was the only son of a joint family. And we know the story that to keep him there, they got him married to a wife who was as beautiful as the goddess Lakshmi. And they gave him wealth that actually equaled Lord Indra. He had power. He had real power. He had everything we aspire for. He can control the world. But that was not his faith. He was very evolved. He understood. And how did he get that faith? Anybody know how Raghunath Das Goswami historically got that faith? That he was actually a depressed youth. It's like, mommy, mommy, daddy, why won't you let me be happy? I want to be a devotee. I want to join the ashram. If you really love me, why won't you do this? Where did he get that faith? Faith?
Nityananda Bhagavad-gita.
Before that. But that's true. That's the ultimate faith.
Bhagavatam.
What? Yeah, he was in his village because his parent, his uncle and his father was so pious that they had actually purchased a section of Bengal called Saptagram, practically purchased it, so that the Vaishnavas can find shelter. But for Raghunath Das Goswami, yes, what happened to him, Haridas Thakur was in his village. Arjuna here, I don't say he was, I'll embarrass the poor guy. I don't think his father had the wealth of Lord Indra. But I saw he was in his home, and his father was a devotee, but there were no devotee friends around, and then Shastra used to have all the Vaishnavas. They live in the same town. So Jayagrata Maharaj visited, and they would stay at his house. Gopi Pranadana stayed there for translation. Naranjan Swami came. Bhakti Vishwambar Madhava Maharaj came. I used to always come, and other people. So he would kind of, sometimes see and hear, and it affects one. Well, what if Haridas Thakur was in Rehoboth? Chanting every day. It was kind of like he was sitting next to Haridas Thakur. And then, because in those days they didn't have internet, what would happen is the main source of news is when the Vaishnavas would used to come to Haranya and Govardhan Majumdar's house, because they would facilitate everyone. And then they would hear, did you hear Lord Chaitanya took sannyas? Did you hear Lord Chaitanya, the Jarakanda forest? Do you hear about that? He was going through the forest and the animals were dancing. He was hearing all these things in the Jarakanda forest and all the pastimes were. And he was hankering and hankering and hankering. He actually had that faith. Faith is not, and this is a very important point, it's not I believe, I don't believe. That's not what Shraddha is. Not that I believe or I don't believe. It's the degree that you believe based on the experience that you've had. We are devotees not necessarily because someone sat down and preached to us. You see, understand that God obviously has a flute and a peacock feather. It's so obvious. And he's dancing with the girls at night. Why not? That's not why. I studied this. It's very interesting for a lecture I gave. I tell you about God. Can God be blue? And my understanding is what faith is. It's another sense that we have. But it's the sense that we experience God, which is closed by doubts and offenses. And when those doubts are clear, or we're just innocent, and we come in contact with Shuddhanam, the pure name, Krishna Prasadam, and we're innocent, when our offenses haven't yet closed the sense of faith. Lord Jampagur always used to say, the Hare Krishna movement, we were all pure devotees at the beginning. until we got a taste of power. Till we wanted position, till there was hierarchy, till there was all, we were all pure devotees. So sometimes when you come and you're not offensive and you look with starry eyes and you open your heart, you get an experience. And then if you hear the philosophy, then you'll keep yourself open to that experience. So Raghunath Das Goswami had an experience. He sat with Haridas Thakur, and a flood of faith in the holy name of Krishna and the father of the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya, went in his heart. And he so much tried to get his association. And even he went one time, and Lord Chaitanya sent him back.
He said, don't be a crazy fellow.
He sent him back. He sent him back. Because renunciation has to be tested, that it's not artificial. Sometimes, I don't know if it's a mistake, but if we push people to become brahmacharis, then that's one thing. But it's a nice mood sometimes. We have a strong enough ashram, you push people away and they test their renunciation. And Lord Chaitanya also wanted to show that renouncing the world is not just for losers. Because people can't do anything else, they join the ashram. And I was reading a purport. I forgot where I was reading it. That Prabhupada was very concerned with this. It was a long purport. Very concerned.
No lazies and crazies.
What?
No lazies and crazies. Is that the one?
I'm not sure which purport.
Right? The seventh canto.
It wasn't the seventh canto. I just read it recently, and it's in the story of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I think I'll look it up for the next time. And Giriraj Swami said, the Prabhupada told him, if in India, if you let in third class people, you'll only get fifth class. So Lord Chaitanya said, no, you go home. And then we see how competent Raghunath Das Goswami was. When his father, in the business mode, tried to not give the tax that he was supposed to give for the you know, for the management of the district where he was serving the Vaishnavas, and he got caught, and he had to run away, his uncle, and they caught him. And Raghunath Das Goswami was so expert in diplomacy, how he spoke to the person. But not only how he spoke to the person, you have to understand something about Raghunath Das Goswami. He was so pure in heart and so grounded in integrity and spirituality that he was just so attractive. Dira, dira, jana priyo piyakaro, nir masaro puji. He was so attractive. So attractive personality. I mean, looking at his face. And then he was just so depressed for so many years. Why won't you let me go? I want to be a renunciate. I want to dedicate myself fully. Why won't you let me go? When Prabhupada was in India, he went to every Indian family. 3 sons, 4 sons, 5 sons, 2 sons. Give me one of your sons. I will train him as a Brahmin. Prabhupada said, every family said, how will they earn? But Prabhupada said, when I came to America, all the boys and girls already took sannyas. Because they already left home. What a time to preach. Everyone had already left home. They already threw out the whole so-called most of the material civilization. And they were free. But then, finally, Nityananda comes nearby in Panihati. And he goes, and he's so famous, but he's so humble. When they see him in the assembly, everyone says, "There's Raghunath Das." I remember this is way, way back. It may have been 1978 or 79. We're in Mangalarti, and at that day in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, you know, there's 15 people. There's not many devotees that are living there. And I remember in Mangalarti, this one devotee would lead who was the devotee that Prabhupada had chant kirtans. Whenever Prabhupada was there, in any function, any time Prabhupada would come to the temple every day, he'd have this devotee chant kirtans. Every day Prabhupada would come out, especially in his last days when he was sick, they would carry him out. He would sit before the Krishna Balaram Mandir, Krishna Balaram deities, under the tamal tree, and they have kirtan for Prabhupada, and this devotee would lead kirtan. His name is Sachidananda, Bengali devotee. At that time, he only had one broken drum in the temple. And he would lead Mangalarti. The ecstasy of his chanting is when the whole assembly would be chewing the words. They were so relishable how he would chant. So he was leading Mangalarti, and then one person looked back, and who was by Prabhupada's Vyasasan, where the Murti was, with his hands folded, praying to Prabhupada? There's Krishna Das Babaji. And then he went, we had many times where Krishna Das Babaji came to the temple. I'll just tell you one of the most startling ones. Padmalochan, he used to be in Mayapur, was in Vrindavan, and he organized a Ras Leela with the Gurukul boys. And I remember Radha and Krishna were particularly attractive. There was this one boy named Chakra, another boy named, his name was Satyaraj, the boy. And Bhavananda was watching, so had a Vyasasan, and Krishna Das Babaji came in. So they put him on one of the Vyasasans, you know, one of these seats in the courtyard. And this is how he was watching the Ras Leela. That's how he was watching the Ras Leela laughing. He said, "There's Raghunath Das." He wanted to hide. And who hides when you see them? A thief. when you see someone and they hide, they're a thief. So Lord Nityananda said, "You're a thief. You're a thief." And then he brought him forth and he said, "I will punish you, because you're a thief." And of course the punishment was, in this joking manner, was that he should serve the Vaishnavas by making a big feast. So I read one commentary on this by the head of Harinam Press in Vrindavan. His name was Shyamalal, and he translated many of the books. One of his books was translated into English on the six Goswamis. Best book I've ever seen on the six Goswamis. His insights and commentaries. And he said what this pastime means, the real reason that he was a thief is because he was trying to attain Lord Chaitanya, who's the property, God is the property of Guru. So he tried to go and get God without Guru. So he said, therefore, you are a thief. You're trying to take something that's the property of someone else. And then his obstacles were removed by service to the Vaishnavas, which attracted Lord Chaitanya. So every year in New York, I would have this festival with the mood of removing obstacles. Removing obstacles. So people can serve and serve the Vaishnavas. And then, of course, he was inspired and left. And, you know, his renunciation was so intense. So intense. From the richest man in West Bengal. The richest man in West Bengal, he became so disgusted with wealth and opulence that was an obstacle to bhakti in his life. He became so disgusted with it that at the end of his life, he was going in the place in Puri where they throw out the rancid rice, and he was like peeling it and eating the kernel with salt. So here's the question. Isn't that false renunciation?
Maharaj, just one thing. Excuse me. Just explain the step to how he got to that rice. Because, you know, he started off eating Mahaprasad, then he, you know, went down the line.
Yeah. There's a there.
There's a,
that's the end.
Right. That's the end.
Yeah, no, right. He was just begging, because if you want to chant Hare Krishna in Govardhan or Puri, and you don't want to work, and you're actually qualified, in Vrindavan they have, in Govardhan they have Brahmins that cook rotis every day for sadhus, and you just go to their house and say, Radhe, Radhe. There's one place in Govardhan I go, and they did everything. They feed, so I met one person, I think he walks around, I have it on film. One person, I think he walks around Govardhan almost three times a day. He spends his whole life walking around Govardhan. And it's not artificial. If you just, and they question, we ask him some questions. So he comes every day. That's how he eats. If you're on the road for, you know, 13, 14 hours a day, you don't have time to work, let alone cook. So in Puri, they can go in front of the gate. And they go in front of the gate, and people will give you.
Even before that, inside the temple, you can start at Nanda Bazaar, where all the food is there, yeah. And the sadhus stand there, and yeah. Then when the pilgrims buy, they put in their hands, then you go in front of the gate, you know?
So it was a progression, and it wound up in just... So how is that bhakti? Why is that bhakti? We are yukta vairagya. We have balanced attachment. We take what we need for Krishna's service. So how is that bhakti? Anybody can say? Is that what we should do? We're stuffing ourselves three times a day. At least I am. At least twice.
He was so satisfied that he didn't want... He didn't need.
He didn't need? That's true. Perhaps. Yeah, Gita?
But because it was approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
because he would ask Srup Damodar, what is Raghunath Das Goswami doing? And he would explain to him. And every time he went down this progression into deeper and deeper in renunciation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, very good. So it was pleasing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Different of the Goswamis got different instructions. And it said Rupa and Sanatan and Jiva got the instruction to preach. And Raghunath Das got the instructions to exhibit the life of a renunciate.
Sadhana jivane yasya drishto bhagodaya kramaha Raghunatham aham vande dasa goswaminam pravam. I offer my homage unto my master Sri Raghunath Das Goswami by carefully studying his life in his daily practices of the regular principles of devotional service. One can quickly come to understand the exact scientific sequential process by which one will attain to prayojana, the topmost state of lokat.
That's a great verse. And that sums it up at the end of the class, because that really sums it up. By the way, on Thursday, we're not going to, not Thursday, the day after tomorrow, we're not going to go out on Parikram because it's Advaitacharya's appearance day, and
you probably did.
And we're going to, you know, we're not going to make breakfast in the morning. So we'll have lunch about 12 o'clock. So what we'll do is stay back, and a few other people will give class also. Gideon Agri is going to speak on the holy name. And Chara Chandra, he's the one that supervises the prasadam. He's a very, very, very deep devotee. And he's going to speak on Lord Jagannath and the universal form. So it's nice also because it's nice to hear from people who actually practice Krishna consciousness so strictly. Because there's bound to be realizations. Of course, they also have their own level of scholarship, but when someone practices deeply, we want to hear what they have to say. That's why we follow pastime of Lord Chaitanya too, the Acharya Viva. Okay, so today I'll make some announcements, but I'll make the first one until I get the paper, is that we're going to have a really wonderful Harinam, the Haridas Thakur Samadhi, and there's different ways to get there. It's at least you want to walk back.